Our scripture reading this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Let us listen to Paul's words about life, resurrection life, life in the Spirit, as he writes to the people of Corinth. And listen for any words for us in particular or for yourself. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom who are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and this grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. May God bless our hearing and receiving of these holy words. Did anybody hear a word that spoke to you this morning? Violet.
Christ died for our sins.
Christ died for our sins. Yes. Sharon. A lot of grace in there. Yes. Yes. A lot of grace. Paul confessing of his former life of persecuting the church. Yeah. And he says, it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A great story. Jerry was the kind of guy you love to be around. He was always in a good mood and always had something positive to say. When someone would ask him how he was doing, he would reply, "If I were any better, I would be twins." Jerry was a natural leader because of his attitude. Jerry would say, "Each morning I wake up and say to myself, Jerry, you have two choices today. You can choose to be in a good mood, or you can choose to be in a bad mood. I choose to be in a good mood. Each time something bad happens, I can choose to be a victim, or I can choose to learn from it. I choose to learn from it. Every time someone comes to me complaining, I can choose to accept their complaining, or I can point out the positive side of life. I choose the positive side of life." "Not that easy," you say? "Yes, it is," Jerry said. "Life is all about choices. It's your choice how to live life." One day, Jerry left the back door open at his restaurant that he owned and was held up at gunpoint by three armed robbers who panicked and shot him. Luckily, Jerry was found relatively quickly. He explained, "As I laid on the floor, I remembered that I had two choices. I could choose to live or I could choose to die. I chose to live." And Jerry continued, "The paramedics were great. They kept telling me I was going to be fine, but when they wheeled me into the emergency room and I saw the expressions on the faces of the doctors and nurses, I got really scared. In their eyes, I read, 'He's a dead man.' I knew I needed to take action." "Well, there was a big burly nurse shouting questions at me," said Jerry. "She asked if I was allergic to anything. 'Yes,' I replied. The doctors and nurses all stopped working as they waited for my reply. I took a deep breath and yelled, 'Bullets!' Over their laughter, I told them, 'I am choosing to live. Operate on me as if I'm alive, not dead.' And Jerry lived, thanks to the skill of his doctors and nurses, but also because of his amazing attitude. Every day, we have the choice to live fully. Now, there is mental illness, and not all of us are natural optimists. But for most of us, life is a choice to be made. I made a choice today. I shared with you. I had a different meditation to talk about today. Last week, I talked about choosing hope, choosing joy the week before. And today, I chose to talk about life as a choice, according to the Apostle Paul from his first letter to the Corinthians. This is the good news, the message that Paul received from Christ himself and passed along to the people of Corinth. This is the good news for today. Christ is alive. We're about 65 days after Easter, where we celebrated that Christ Jesus has been resurrected from death. He is alive. He is alive today. That's pretty exciting. It was exciting for Paul. But what about the Corinthians? You see, the people of Corinth apparently were distracted by lesser things. Apparently, they were not thinking that much about Jesus' resurrection. In fact, they were not thinking very well together at all. The people of First Church Corinth were gifted people, spiritually gifted people like us. They were bragging about their spiritual gifts. Unfortunately, that led to many divisions within the church at Corinth, and Paul was deeply disturbed by this. Apparently, one gifted group was put off by the notion of physical resurrection. Spiritual resurrection, they could buy into, that our spirits are somehow brought to life. So Paul took them by the chin in the palm of his hand, if you can picture this, and he lifts their eyes to the cross. There's a cross. There's a cross. Lift their eyes to the cross. Then he repeats the proclamation with which they first believed. Christ died for your sins, so fear not. Paul tells them, Christ was raised, according to Living Bible, a Message Bible, a fleshly resurrection for us fleshy ones, physical, that is. He called me to go and tell. Christ called Paul to go and tell. And Paul chose to go and tell. But remember, Paul was originally called Saul, as we mentioned earlier. He was a Pharisee, an up-and-comer in the Jewish community. He had power and prestige, and he maintained it by clearly identifying his enemies and destroying them. Sounds like our world. Saul was a very powerful and very effective leader at destroying his enemies, which happened to include the apostles of Jesus and the early Christians. Saul presided over Stephen's stoning and was on his way to Damascus to arrest and persecute the Christians there when Jesus met him, took his chin in his hand, lifted his eyes to the cross, and said, "I died for your sins. Do not be afraid." Well, guess what? Saul chose to look at life differently after meeting the resurrected Jesus. Saul chose to be Paul. You see, in Christ's death and resurrection, God has laid claim to God's own creatures, all of them. God has chosen to love us unlovely and seemingly unlovable people. In our scripture, Paul has intertwined his own story with the resurrection story, the good news. He has chosen the life that Jesus portrayed in the resurrection. Paul has chosen resurrection life for himself. And now Paul is part of the resurrection story. So my poll question for you this morning, when you hear the resurrection story, think about this. How many feel that it is your story too? Think about it. Where does your life intertwine with the resurrection story, the empty cross? How were you living in sin and fear? How were you seeking power and prestige, or just money, possessions, personal comfort and ease? Who first lifted your chin in hand and pointed to the cross, the empty cross, and the gift of life that Jesus died to give to you? Was it your parents? A pastor? A youth pastor? A Sunday school teacher or a friend? Were you raised in a Christian home? What did you do to earn the gift of life? You've worked hard for what you have, home, family, career, schooling. But who gave you the gifts and talents to accomplish so much? What have you done that God did not already prepare you for and enable you to succeed in? Unfortunately, we, like those Corinthians, still get caught up in our own possessions, our own gifts, spiritual or other, our own accomplishments, our own status. It becomes all about us, not God. We divide ourselves up between us and them, the ins and the outs, the rights and the wrongs. But when we focus on what we have and what we've accomplished, or what they don't have or have not accomplished, then we have lost sight of what's important. We've lost sight of the cross. We've lost sight of the resurrection and the resurrection life that God has given all of us to live right now. We can choose to follow the choices of the world, money, fame, power, self-gratification, instant gratification, greed, fear. These are the choices that put Jesus on the cross and are still dividing our nation and even many churches. Too often these have been our choices, haven't they? Those were the choices of the Hebrew people. Those were the choices of Saul before he became Paul. Now it's time for us to choose. It is God who has given us life. That life is ours for the choosing. But we do have to choose it. And to choose it, we have to keep our eyes focused on that cross, the empty cross. Jesus is no longer on that cross, is he? Jesus is alive. Christ Jesus was resurrected from death. That is the good news. Jesus is no longer on the cross. He is risen, he is alive, and that resurrection life is now available to each of us if we will just choose to accept it. Resurrection life begins with sacrifice and service, a willingness to die to our old life, to take up our own cross, as Jesus said, and follow Jesus. Resurrection life goes to the cross, but beyond the cross, to find the love, the compassion, the joy and hope, the very peace of God that is ours for the choosing, ours to choose today. But we have to go through the cross, the empty cross. Whatever you've chosen before, whatever you've chosen even earlier this morning, you still have that critical choice right now and every right now. Will you choose to follow Jesus right now? Will you choose to go to the cross and beyond? Will you choose life in Christ Jesus today and every day that comes along? Will you choose life? Because living fully in Christ, in resurrection life, is always a choice. Always a choice. So our take-home question, can you tell someone how Jesus' death and resurrection is good news for them? How would you do that? Will you do that? Will you pray with me? Blessed God, how good you are to us. How many ways you have blessed us and how you rain down your grace and blessings on us every second of every day. With every breath we take, every heartbeat, with every glimpse at your good creation around us, with every hug or smile that we receive from those right here in our church family and around in our community. God, you have blessed us so greatly, and you have put a choice before us to receive your grace, to receive the good news of the gift that your Son Jesus gave to us, to receive life in your love, in your presence, in faith in Jesus, knowing that even when war encroaches upon us again, you are at work, and we can trust in you, and we can find joy and hope and life, full life, right now in Jesus. We pray in his name, amen.